What's occurring, Bert?
What's occurring? What's a crack, mate? All good?
All good, yeah. We got a nice guest today. I think we spoke about him on the pod a few times, but you've got a lovely little intro, so.
Yeah, as always, got the research team on it. So, we're joined by a very special guest. This man has recorded 9 pro victories, including some big dogs, San Remo, Newsblad, Kern, now in his 8th year pro. And I'd say arguably one of the most consistent riders in the one-day races. And he's my latest training partner. Last week, half-wheeled me for a week. We're actually in Tidy in Tenerife, and he's come here off his own back. So welcome to the pod, Mr. Jasper Stuyven. What's happening?
Thank you. All good. Thanks for having me.
Good man.
You come up here quite a lot, don't you? Like
the last few years, yeah. Since May 19.
Yeah.
Yeah, twice a year.
Because it's not something like generally big classics guys you see them doing, really, is it? Or is it? It's just
nowadays it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think I've done 2017 in the summer altitude camp, and then I was going quite well after, and then yeah, I thought it was worth it to give it a chance to do it before the classics.
Yeah.
And since yeah.
Did you do it this year before the classics?
Yeah, I did.
Ah, that's the secret. Try that.
Well, do you remember when we did it one year? We missed Paranese and Tirreno, the classics team, and we just come up here. We were shitting the classics.
So. Yeah, you guys were the first, I think. But a little bit different.
13, 14?
More extreme.
Something around there.
Yeah.
But you need a Paranese or Tirreno in your legs, don't you, really?
Yeah.
If you do altitude plus then, it'd be good. But we skipped those races, didn't we? I think that was... didn't work.
Did we not go well? No. Was that not the year you were that super windy weather gun? No, it's later.
No.
Well, that's 15, I think, or 16.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, he knows his classics, this guy, eh?
Yeah. Did you race that year?
The windy
you?
One?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, didn't you?
My first years, I always skipped weather gun.
Ah.
Because E3 and then Wildgap and yeah.
Yeah.
Was maybe a bit much. I would have loved to do the windy one.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, no, you would. If everything goes well, it's always
looks good on TV. Yeah. I ended up in a ditch. It wasn't much fun.
Yeah, Stegman's. I saw Stegman's got blown off the road. Like, he's what, 90 kilos?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I don't know how I managed to stay on the road that there.
Do you remember Brad telling the story about him, Stegman's? So he got blown in, you know, there on the Murren.
Yeah.
And there's the canal. So each got blown straight off into the canal. And he landed, but the water's quite shallow. And beneath the water is bamboo sticking up.
Yeah, I heard.
And he went, yeah, he was Trek, wasn't he? Of course. And he went, it went under his gum in his lip. And Brad was like, last man, taking no risk, rolling along. And he got to the bus and he was like, you never know what I seen. Halfway along the Murren, I see Stegman's climb out of a ditch, go to the car, look in the wing mirror, and he's pulling pieces of bamboo out of his fucking lip, like just like in the mirror.
Oh my God.
Horrific.
That was bonkers, that was.
It was.
Riders bonkers, everywhere. Man. Remember Cav behind me going, Jay, like to give him a bit more space, you know? Then there was a flick, and I think I took his front wheel out and he took a few spokes out.
That was just race. Before the first cobble section, the castle.
Yeah. He wasn't happy with me.
Hey ho.
Not sure you got over it.
Not the crazy day.
It wasn't crazy. My whole, I was in the second echelon or something, and the whole echelon just went, we got blown off the road. All of us. Anyway, we got a bit sidetracked there. We've got a few questions for you, but we'll just let it flow, see how it goes.
Sorry, just going back to here, you sorted all this out, or the team?
No, it's just me.
Oh, really?
The team is in, actually 2 years ago, I had my camp planned for a little bit over 2 weeks. And then it was only in January I found out that one of those weeks was overlapping with a team camp that was completely organized by the team.
Right.
So, yeah, but I always do it on my own. I do get a swan ear with me, which is nice.
Yeah.
And you got one teammate.
Yeah. I have a bed spare, so... Now it's nice to have someone to train with as well, and the past few times with always Edward turns.
Yeah.
And then now in February, we were with two, also with Otto Vergaarde. And now...
And how's Gallopin. He going? Tony Gallopin, yeah. How's it going?
Yeah, I just arrived yesterday. So
you getting on with him or are you pissing each other off yet?
Well, not yet. So
because you got 2 weeks here with one guy. Imagine yeah. you started grating on each other after a day.
I'm improving my French now.
You speak good French, though?
Not perfect, but I think it's good to speak a little bit French with him.
Yeah.
Improving.
Oh, he's a good guy, though.
Yeah,
he rode with me in Pyrenees when I was chasing when I won.
Okay.
He got a load of shit on social media, actually. Oh, why are you helping Sky? But he was in top 10. It was me, Sergio, teammate. Was it Sergio I was with? Yeah, I think it was. No.
I don't remember. Could be.
And Tony. And there was Contador and Richie out front, small group in the middle, or maybe the other way around. Yeah, and we were just chasing full gas to, you know, I was in the jersey to try and win, and Gallopin was still trying to protect the top 10 or whatever it was. Yeah, he got a load of shit from the French for helping Sky, because I was in the years when
the French
we were muck. Yeah. Everyone hated us, especially the French. But yeah,
and you went to a rugby game with him, or did I just dream that up?
No, but he is into his rugby, so he always like messages every now and again if France beat Wales. You know.
Ooh, friend! Tony is into rugby.
Yeah. Are you?
No.
It's not big in Belgium, is it?
No, not at all.
No.
What sports are you into other than cycling? Or you're not?
Sometimes I follow the NBA.
Yeah.
Then Formula One. That's it.
Who do you support in Formula One?
Max.
Max. Good man. Wait, I haven't actually got many questions for you. So I said you're one of the most consistent riders in the one-day races, and you are. You're always up there. You're always top 10, bouncing around. Won a few big ones. What's the one you want to win? Is it Roubaix or... It's going to be Roubaix or Flanders.
For me, it's Roubaix.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
Because for me, like, I never had the feeling like one or the other is the better one, but then... I raced it. I mean, I think you also raced it, a junior.
Yeah.
And then the juniors are the same day as we are racing it now.
Did you win the juniors?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think as a Belgian, you get so much support that day. And I was wearing a rainbow jersey that year. So everything adding up made it a memory or an experience that...
Yeah. So what year was that?
2010.
Did you race the under 23 as well?
Yeah.
Did you win that?
No, a second.
Who won?
Sinkelman.
Oh, wow. I was there. Was that? Hang on. Yeah, I was there when you won.
2011.
Yeah, I was there.
Where did you finish?
Nowhere.
It's for GB.
GB. Yeah. We were racing for Andy Fenn. Andy Fenn was...
He was third.
Third.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, there was like... Taylor Finney won the year before as well. Yeah. He just fucked off on his own.
Yeah.
Yeah, weapon.
I never did the under 23 one. We didn't do it when I was...
Have we told the story about the junior one on here?
I don't think so.
This is a great story. Go on.
So, 2004. So we went over with...
2004, fuck, you're old.
Yeah.
That's when I started.
How old were you then?
12.
Well, I was only 18 or 17 at the time. But so John Barkley, just some random dude, he used to take kids over all the time.
Still does. I'm pretty sure, yeah.
What the hell, he shouldn't be driving, mate. He was bath blind when he was taking me. Anyway, we were racing for like Southeast District region. Something like that. Anyway, so it was me, Stannard, and then a few others do the race. Me and Stannard away at the end, coming down, you know, the last sector. Well, it's not a sector, but you know, before you turn into the velodrome, Stannard's on the front. And you go right off the cobbles, don't you? And then you just keep going and you do another little right into the velodrome.
Yeah.
Stannard went right and then just went left onto the road again. And so I turned into the velodrome looking, I'm like, all right, then. So I just sprinted. I didn't wait for him. And I won by 20 odd seconds.
And he still finished second? Or?
Yeah, he was second, yeah.
But now, Stannard would have rolled him.
Yeah. He would never have rolled me. He always says this.
Do you not think?
No chance.
I'm not saying that just because he's not here.
No. So that year, like as juniors, mate, I was
fast.
I was fast back then.
Oh, I don't know, Yogi.
Mate, yeah, no chance. Yeah, we sprinted against each other a few times. I was toning to finish anyway.
Oh, okay.
I won him in second place.
Fucking brilliant. Great that, isn't it?
Nice, then. You didn't do a recon before.
No. We were just far over the night before, probably, day before. And
just arrive and
Just put 8 bar on your tires and just go.
Yeah, no, I had those, you know, the lag, is it lag? The thing you put around the pipes.
No.
I had some of that on my...
Really?
Yeah. I won my body weight in chocolate as well. And they asked me at the finish, how heavy are you? I said something like 75, 80 kilos. I was like 60 something, you know. They were looking at me like, well, those legs, there's no way.
Do you know, so you won all that chocolate. And the next year, my brother went to Junior Roubaix.
Mm.
And you weren't there, obviously. But the chocolate got delivered a year later, didn't it?
Can't remember when it was, yeah. But it was like little squares, weren't they? Like little pavé blocks.
I don't know what it was, but I remember my brother saying...
They brought it all back.
All this chocolate came the whole way back. They were just eating all these chocolate.
Mate, I didn't get any of it in the end. It was just in the velodrome for people to just take.
My brother ate it all.
That's where it went.
Ah, speaking of chocolate, swiftly moving on. You got a chocolate shop. Yeah. And we spoke about this briefly on our ride the other day, didn't we?
In Belgium,
yeah.
Oh.
That must be a hard balance. Because you got to stay lean, stay in shape.
Yeah, the guns it's easier when you live in Monaco, so you can't pass at the shop.
True.
Yeah.
So what
no, so it's always actually, on Instagram. Yeah, it's actually my uncle. He used to have like a bigger shop factory. And he's the youngest brother of my dad. So when we were growing up, my sister and I, a lot of times he came to babysit us. And then, of course, there was chocolate. And then in the family, there's always chocolate. Then in 2016, 15, he wanted to start a smaller business under our last name. And then I got involved with it. And in Belgium, you can open a shop with just chocolate. And
nice.
And it's running. And
so did you make it then, or are you?
Yeah, we don't do the bean to bar, but the little chocolates with what's inside and the all the other things we make in the shop and sell.
Oh, nice. So Steuven Chocolates, what?
Steuven Chocolates.
Nice. That's really cool. Gonna have to go.
Yeah.
Where in Belgium is it?
It's 20 minutes east of Leuven, if you know where Leuven is, of course.
I don't, but I know you're
so
from there.
40 minutes from Brussels.
East. Okay. Yeah.
But you don't post, do you? Because it gets destroyed.
Sorry?
You can't really post it, right?
We post quite some chocolates to Richie, actually.
But,
yeah. So he orders sometimes, but
sure he does.
Of course, the one that can break is always a risk. Like now for Easter, he knew that there is a chance that the rice broken, and then weather also is a big influence, of course. If in summer it's not gonna
rise,
gonna look nice when you open the box. So depending on the time, we do post. Yeah.
Ah, do you want my address or?
I can write it down.
Mate, with Brexit, it's going to take a year to really arrive.
Yeah, just hand deliver it. What's the plan rest of the year? Tour, obviously, big goal.
Yeah.
Stage hunting.
Hoping to finally get it, yeah.
One thing I was going to ask, because it's quite hard, obviously the cobble stage stands out, but in a normal year of the tour, when there's no cobbles, the tour's actually really... Unless you're a climber or a sprinter, there's not many stages for guys in the middle, is there?
And I think if I wouldn't have been so close for a few times, I wouldn't go back anymore. But because I've been close a few times.
What have you had? You've had a second, you've second on a stage, wouldn't you?
Second on a stage, third on a stage. And then my first 2016, I got COVID 400 meters to go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that was like I did get the KOM jersey after that, but if I would have won, I would have had everything.
Yeah,
so that was a nice start.
You'd have had yellow.
Yeah,
what stage was it? One,
Two.
Which year?
2016. Kev won on, what was it, Utah Beach?
Ah, okay.
And then the day after it was raining, like crashes all over the place, really twisty.
That's the day Froome basically won the tour.
Yeah.
Got a minute and a half on Quintana that day. Yeah.
Richie had the flood in the downhill with 3K to go.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So yeah, a few close calls. So that kind of motivates me to still try it. The problem is the stages that I try to go for it, there's always a climb. That's often just a little bit too hard, or there's a better climber.
Were you in the break? Sorry. Were you in the break when on the cobbles in 18 when Devil Cup won? Were you in that move?
I went just before.
Right.
So I attacked the sector before.
Mm.
They caught me back on the just before the next one, and then Degen went with Fech and Yves. Yeah. I think I was still top 10 there, though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, Greg was there, yeah.
Greg was there. Greg, yeah. Yves, and
Degenkolb.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's mad what you remember, though, isn't it? Like, years.
As soon as you start talking about it, it all comes back to me. Mm. Cobbles this year, then. That's the stage, isn't it?
It is. So I'll do a recon after Dauphiné, and then we'll see. But obviously, there's a lot of other riders who see that as the chance. But yeah, maybe this year is...
That's going to be a mental stage, isn't it? 140K.
Yeah.
With no moving. No, it's going
to
be nuts.
I remember the last time we did it, it was like 50K to the first sector, and it was like the last 3K of a bunch sprint for 50K.
Yeah. Do you know what's better? It's better shorter. Less time.
Oh.
But also...
Going on a bit political, but what's your thoughts on the cobbles being in the tour? Obviously, for you, it's probably a different attitude to...
Yeah.
Good question.
I like the argument, or I understand the argument of maybe it doesn't fit in a Grand Tour. But then, I like it. It's a chance to win the stage. And my personal opinion is that it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not as a big fan of, like, the gravel, like, if it's too crazy. Like, Planche de Belfie, if it ends the last...
Yeah,
how long is it?
Yeah,
I think it can be okay, but cobbles. Yeah, I think it has its place. Not every year, though, or not every Grand Tour. But I totally understand that for a GC guy, it's not the stage you're looking forward to.
Yeah,
but I'm also not looking forward to the hardest mountain stage. So.
Same question to you.
Well, I kind of think I don't mind, but. It'd be such a shame if a GC guy, because I know how much it takes to get into good shape, you know, for that race. And then suddenly, if you puncture and lose a minute on a day like that, it just feels unnecessary. Well, it's like luck. A lot of luck comes into it. Well, not having bad luck. But at the same time, it is good to just, you have a bit of everything. But yeah. You just got to be not be unlucky, basically, which sucks. But
I'm not going to sit on the fence on this one. I think they don't have a place in a Grand Tour, because if you go to the Classics, you know what you're signing up for. If you go to the Tour, just exactly that. Say you've got 10 GC guys, you got the chance that three drop out of that 10, and it hampers the racing for the rest of the race.
Mm.
And if you want to see, you know, like a mountaintop finish. You want to see like the best guys all there on a similar time, having no crashes, go toe to toe. And I think having that potentially compromises it. But I enjoy racing it at the same time.
But did you miss a fight between the GC guys in 18?
Nothing happened, did it? Nobody lost time that day. Even Bardet had three punches.
Yeah, there was a lot of chaos, but at the end, everyone was within the same.
Do you know why? Yeah. Because they never took the fucking convoy up. That race should have been completely different. So, after, I don't know what section, Monza Pavel, there was 25, 30 guys left. And we had five guys there.
Mm.
We started pulling. And then they just kept coming back. And we were like, how have they done that? And then you watch it back on TV and the whole convoy's there. Just loads of people in the convoy. Okay. The convoy fucked that race.
Do you have a GC guy for the tour this year?
No, we don't.
Yeah.
the plan is to do stages.
Yeah.
But you know how it goes, because the guys who can win stages, they're asked to keep as long as possible into GC contention.
Yeah.
Sure, another angle from like how it's hard for you to win stages is you've of course got Mads Pedersen, who's a similar type of rider. He's probably slightly faster, but there's a lot of days where if he wasn't there, you'd have a chance.
Yeah, but I think he has a way better chance in like just a sprint.
Yeah.
Where I can set him up pretty good. And then it's up to him. But then, yeah, I think breakaways, that's the stages that I will win, or when it's like a really hard kick in the end, or that I can survive, like really on the limit, just make it or don't make it.
Who climbs better, you or Mads?
I think at the moment, me, but Mads, when he has some of his days, he
just has these mad days.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think the thing with this year as well, though, with you two, okay, short TT, shouldn't lose too much time, and then the wind, cobbles, like, so I bet there's so many guys are thinking, I could potentially get the jersey here.
Yeah.
Mads is so up for the TT.
Mm.
Like,
he's motivated for that one.
There's going to be a lot of people, like, going to that tour thinking they got a chance of getting the other jersey.
You heard about his bet with Mads? Bet with Mads. So, if he wins the TT, I have to get a tattoo of a donkey.
Where would you get it?
Oh, I'll put it on my ass.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's on my ass.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
And then if you win a stage, is it?
Yeah. If I win a stage, but he has already tattoos, I don't.
Mm.
So for him to get another tattoo, it's not the same. It's
less, yeah.
So we'll have to see.
Huh.
He's up for anything, or he's open for any suggestions.
I think you got the best side of the bet there. I mean, he's going to be there or thereabouts, but for him to win, I think it'd be tough. But for you to win a stage is more likely than he wins the TT. You got a good bet there, mate.
I agree. People had some other comments to say that I'm stupid, but
So you haven't decided what he's got a tattoo on him yet?
No, we also have to decide if it's going to be a tattoo or not.
Should get a tattoo of elephant's head, eyes, ears, just above his manhood. That would be a good
That's
one.
That's a good one. I'll propose it.
Well, I'm going to be leading you out.
Yeah, if you really get great.
Okay.
Great.
It'd
be quite good if Mads won the opening TT as well, wouldn't it? Donkey on his ass. Love it. Right, we got these. Anything else to add before we move on to our final questions?
Go ask about quickly about San Remo.
Oh yeah.
When you won that was special, no? Did you always plan like that move, or was it just?
Not really. Like from the moment we got to the top of the Poggio, I did plan it.
Mm.
But before the race, not. Like even our team meeting was more about, okay, there's three guys stronger at the moment. Van der Poel, Van Aert and Alaphilippe. So good luck in following them and then try to get a top 10. You know, that was really, I think everyone was almost with this idea. And then,
was that this year?
Last year. Last year.
Who won this year?
Mohovic.
Ah, yeah. Black sorry. Bastard.
Yeah.
It all blends into one for me.
Sorry to change topic here, but I'm very proud of myself. So this morning, Adam Blythe tweeted, who's going to win the stage in the Giro? And this morning I said Formula before the race started. And he's currently solo with 26K to go. So if he wins, that's call of the century, that.
What's the situation behind?
It's still Dumoulin, Mollema, Goulds.
Wout got dropped. I think it's Colm Bowman and Mollema chasing.
Mm-hmm.
So come on, Formula. Be good for my ego. Good, that. Good for the ego.
How did you celebrate San Remo then?
The team dropped me off at my apartment in Monaco, and I had a dinner and a bottle of champagne with my girlfriend. Because it was still COVID. Nothing was open. Everything was closed.
And he bought himself a nice timepiece.
Yeah, I did.
Huh. You went into your wine as well, though, aren't you?
Yeah.
Have some nice wine to celebrate.
The next day I had a good wine to celebrate, and of course after I when I was buying expensive wine, I always had a good argument of why I was buying
justifying it to yourself.
Yeah.
But when you say it into his wine, like, you buy proper expensive stuff, don't you? Like, your G went quite big the other week. He bought one for 14 euro.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
3.7 on the Vimo.
3.7? Yeah. And you also rated it 3.7 or?
I haven't actually had it yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, just give it a few more years to.
Yeah, it needs to age a couple of
years. Age, yeah.
I went and got it though the other day. Luke sent me a video of you two riding at Baskermont looking for it.
Ah, that one.
Yeah.
He told me about it. We looked for it.
Yeah, yeah. So that's all good.
So how did you get it? You just put it in your pocket and rode up?
Yeah, I put two jerseys on, so the other jersey would kind of hold it up a bit.
Brilliant. I'd love to have seen that. It's a heavy old thing to be stuck in the back jersey of a pocket, isn't it?
Yeah, extra training.
It's for an hour and a half as well.
For an hour and a half. There, isn't
it? Yeah, it was.
Quite warm. Good for the wine.
Yeah, well, when I got it, it was like nice and cold and almost chilled. And then, yeah, so it was real good place to keep it. I warmed it up with my body, but then I tweeted you about it.
Yeah.
Then everyone's tweeting me, oh, you're not supposed to chill red wine, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
As if I'd like stored it in some, you know, fridge or something.
Yeah.
Spanish people drink red wine colder, don't they? That's a Spanish thing.
There's some that you can in there.
It's also what you like. Like, it's a bit personal. Yeah. Of course, you lose some flavors in any direction that you go, if you go colder or more like warmer, but
yeah.
Well, what's your, personal.
What's your feeling about someone orders a white fish and they have red wine with it?
I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah, me too. I'm not, you know, people are like, oh, you gotta have white wine with fish. Like,
do you know what?
Have red wine, have red wine.
I agree with that, but a steak with white wine seems wrong.
To be fair, yeah, the wine.
Yeah, but if you are really like, if you drink white wine 80% of the time and you're really more into white wines,
yeah,
and you find a really good balance, strong, full-bodied white wine, you can.
Full body, eh?
It is mad though how they like how it supplements food. So I did this little wine tasting. I don't know where we were on holiday somewhere, and we had these different. And I'm a really big white wine fan, and they had these different cheeses with these. And I was like, bloody hell! Like the difference when you have a sip and then you have some cheese and then you have a sip again. I was like, wow. I'd never actually like realized, you know,
yeah,
or thought about it that much. I just like just wine in it, just drink it, and yeah, lovely. But the food you have with it,
like, yeah, this. But I find it nowadays that food pairing with the wines is it can overrated. Be nice, but sometimes they go just a step too far. And yeah. then I agree even more to instead of having a 5-course meal and you get 4 whites, super special because they think it's fitting really well with the dish you get, but then at the end you just like red more. I prefer to order a bottle of red that I like, and maybe it's not going to fit with every dish, but
I'm yeah, exactly,
eating
yeah.
night and eating, I'm having really good food, and at the same time I'm drinking a bottle that I really want to
yeah
and that I like.
So what's your favorite wine then?
Barolo in general.
Yeah,
I think those are the best.
Yeah, gonna buy a bottle of Barolo next then.
Yeah,
yeah.
What vintage?
Sixteen.
That's the one to go.
At the moment,
how much do I have to spend for a good, you know, not crazy, but good bottle of 16 Barolo?
80 euros.
Oh, it's all right.
It should be fine.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Get a crate.
Hide it somewhere.
Well, that leads on nicely. Did you give Stoven heads up about?
Yeah. Professional.
So leads on nicely to our.
We always finish off with the same question to our guests. If you were going to sit down and have a 3-course meal, what would it be? Start and main dessert. What would you drink with it? And which 3 guests, dead or alive, would accompany you?
Okay. So as a starter, I would go with like the veal tartare that is really typical in Piedmont, so the Barolo region. Yeah, just because it's good meat. Easy.
Veal tartare, nice.
Yeah. And as a main, to be honest, just good meat as well. Simple.
Steak.
Yeah.
Fiorentina, go south a bit to Tuscany.
Yeah, that's a good call.
That's the best steak in the world, yeah. Fiorentina.
And it's not crazy expensive.
No.
Like, not talking Kobe beef or Wagyu beef.
Yeah.
It's good, but...
Yeah.
Fiorentina is actually a good call. So,
You're welcome.
And I would have a bottle of Barolo, definitely. Yeah. Dessert? I actually... Gelato. A good gelato.
Ooh.
I think... But that's a hard call, because for me, it's really like I would go gelato or I would go something chocolate, hazelnut, any good dessert with chocolate and hazelnut in it. I think it's also really
good. What flavored dessert ice cream would you get then? Gelato.
Oof.
Have as many balls as you want, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Generous gelato shop we're running here.
Stracciatella. I like the caramel salt.
Yeah, solid.
As well. And just the one that looks the best.
Yeah. Biscotto. Biscotto's a good one.
Oh, can be good.
Yeah. Stracciatella's a good shout there.
Yeah.
Is it Stracciatella or Stracciatella? Cella.
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 I think.
I like the Choco Pop, you know? Have you tried that one? Oh. In Santo Gelato?
No, but Valgren's goes on about that all the time.
It's just basically kind of vanilla with Nutella.
Solid.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's Kinder as well. Kinder Bueno is there. That's mega.
Well, I'll be going.
Yeah, solid. Which three guests?
I would go with Dalai Lama. Just because I like the mindfulness.
You know that old Indian dude, like with the bald head, like the big guy. Like, Is he Indian or no?
Buddhism?
Buddhism. Yeah. They're from India, I think.
Yeah.
Don't know. Edit it out if it's wrong, George. But
go on, tell us about this
spiritual
guy.
Spiritual and stuff.
Yeah, it's like he's, of course, like a few steps too far. But that's why I think it's interesting to have a chat with him or meet him. And just everything about mindfulness and how complex life is, but he makes it so simple. He looks at it so simple and just... The way of, he's living his life. I think it's just interesting to see and
intense,
to
but deal with. Intense, but interesting.
But I did speak to, Jeff Banks, who did my wedding suits. He's a Buddhist now.
Yeah.
And speaking, like, he doesn't drink and stuff, and we're speaking to him about it. It's pretty.
Doesn't drink.
I would still drink, though.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's more wine on the table anyway for you. So
yeah, that's great. That's a good call. then I would go for, it can be any name from the wine world, but I'll take James Suckling, who's one of the biggest wine reviewers. Interesting, I think, to meet a guy like that who has been writing reviews about every single wine the last years. So
you're really going down like the educational learning route here, aren't you?
Yeah, because I think it's, if you like something, it's just nice to meet the people that are
experts at it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then last, I would like
to...
You're
a cycling expert.
I'm meeting you already.
Yeah. Hey, anyone who predicts Formula will win at the start of the day.
Yeah, that's...
On your mind.
That's true. I would go with a sportsman that is like bigger than his own sport. So Luke Rowe. I think some guys from the NBA or even Lewis from Formula, though I'm not the biggest fan of him as a race driver, I think he's
interesting story with him.
Yeah. So
what about Max, if you're a Max fan?
Yeah, but I think he's still a sportsman.
Yeah.
Like David, he's still Beckham showing up in his Red Bull clothing.
Yeah.
Lewis is not showing up in his, I don't know what he's showing up.
He turns up in some wacky shit.
Yeah. It's incredible. Right?
Just seeing that already. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what about the NBA guys, like Jordan or someone? Or...
I don't know about Jordan.
LeBron?
LeBron or just one of the
Kobe.
Yeah. Those
that was guys. Mad that was. I was in LA when he had that.
I remember you were the one who sent it to me first.
Was it?
Yeah.
Bonkers that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long ago did I go already?
Three, 4 years?
Nah, I don't think. I don't know, maybe 2 or 3. Yeah, 2019 maybe.
Oh, was it? Or
20? Yeah.
Was it?
But well, that's a sad note to end on. But
you can still have him to dinner because the question was dead or alive.
So yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Rest in peace. But you can still have dinner with him if you want.
Right. Yeah. Nice one. That was a good to chat to you.
Yeah. Good pod, mate. Thanks for
having me.
Thanks for coming on
the podcast.
Yeah. We'll have a chat going up Tidy tomorrow. Mount Tidy. Where are you going tomorrow?
I don't know yet.
Mm. How many hours you got?
5.
So we're doing Guima loop.
Which loop?
Guima, you know. Guima. So we go down to Grenadier, left along that twisty road.
Yeah.
And then up from there.
Raffle.
Yeah. I don't know why I call it Guima, but yeah.
McLaren Climb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell that story quickly.
So we were on this training ride at one point and we were going up that climb and we got, 10K up here or something. And they stopped us in the road, these people, and they said, oh, you can't pass. We're testing the new McLaren car. You can't pass. The road's blocked. I'm like, shit, you know, like from there to go back and around is a long way. And Kero was there. I don't really know the full story, but he was like dick swinging a bit, wasn't he?
Yeah, Tim Carrington was like, yeah, but we're training for the Tour de France. Like, we need to get through. Like, it's Chris Froome. We're training for the Tour de France, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, they wouldn't let him through. And then he's like, right, someone call Dave. Call Dave. He'll sort it out. You know, someone from McLaren, sort it out. And eventually, like, did they have a break or something? Or they let us go? Or
I think they said, like, in half an hour or something, we're finished. So we just sat in the car. Yeah. And I had loads of wrappers in my pocket from the food, and I put it in his sun visor. I put them all up there, and then you know, flipped the sun visor up. He wasn't happy with that because then, like later on, you know, just turned a corner, pulled it down, and all the rubbish running straight away. You know, it was like, okay, that was Luke. So that's the McLaren climb.
Mm. Well, I think we're doing that.
Yeah, it's steep and hot.
Yeah, definitely hot. Oh, I have to stop there once for a natural break.
Number two.
Bad guts, yeah. I had to pull over mid-effort and I was just. Twice at that climb, actually. It was weird.
So if you see an avocado tree halfway up there. Twice?
Yeah, something here. You know when you just suddenly have a lot more veg and protein and altitude, I think it just affects my bowels a bit.
Oh. You're going to have another shit up there tomorrow, then?
You never know, mate.
Go for the hat trick.
Keep the tradition.
Do you go to the same spot every time as well?
No, it was different, actually.
Cheese poo spot.
Spread it out.
I'll share that.
Literally.
All right, on that lowered the tone. Yeah. On that note, we'll bow out. Happy days.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for coming.
Ciao, ciao.
Thank you. Ciao, ciao.